Hello, humans. Welcome to the Chill the Fuck Out podcast. I'm your host, Ashley O'Brien. Welcome to a space meant to be for you to pause your day, week, month, or even year, to take a breath and a moment for yourself with yourself. A place to discuss, learn, grow through, and maybe even laugh about mental illness, trauma, abuse, mental health, emotional difficulties, healing, and what we can do to overcome it all, to live and be present in lives we love. Hello, humans. I hope you've had a great week. I decided that I would hold this episode and take Monday off, like most of the rest of the country. To that, thank you to all service members and veterans. Thank you to every man and woman who has given their lives for our country and our freedoms. And thank you to all of your families. I've gotten a lot of great feedback that I want to heed and continue making the pause more what you want and need it to be. One piece of feedback is that for the longer and heavier episodes especially, it would help if I broke it up somehow with maybe a little piece of music or even an ad. I will be working on that going forward and adding a little bit light and fun to each episode, but I've also decided with that feedback and wanting to produce higher quality over length, I am going to try to keep episodes down to 15 to 20 minutes. The topics I'm covering tend to be heavy and aren't binge-type topics for most of us, so maybe smaller bites will work better for most listeners anyway. I don't know, I'm just trying things out, still new here. Please continue giving me feedback. It is extremely helpful. I have also found some more resources that could be helpful for someone. Again, I am not sponsored by any of these. I just want to share whatever I can that might help any survivor. Inspire.com. They are an online support group forum. They host support groups for anything and everything, and you can start your own if you'd like. It seems to work like kind of like social media. You set up a profile and then you can go through the list of communities and join any community you'd like. The difference is that when you post, you only post to one specific community at a time. So if you're in a survivors community and a community for health and wellness, you can post different things in each. And I found them because I was trying to research and find support groups for survivors of childhood trauma, neglect, and abuse. I have struggled to find any in person or via video. I saw a suggestion that it would be great if there was a structured meeting program for survivors, kind of like AA or NA. I thought that was a great idea, something that is nationwide and you could always find a meeting to go to no matter where you are and be around people that you can relate to and get support and maybe even make friends. Maybe this already exists. Please let me know if you know of anything like this, and I will keep searching also. Now, for today's episode, today we are discussing coping via numbing. What is numbing? From verywellmind.com, emotional numbness is a state of being in which you are not feeling or expressing emotions. Emotional numbing is the mental and emotional process of shutting out feelings and may be experienced as deficits of emotional responses or reactions. Quite often, feeling numb is temporary. However, for some, emotional numbness becomes a strategy to protect themselves from further emotional or physical pain. While it may provide temporary relief, learning to cope with difficult feelings this way can have a long-lasting consequence. And then from the same article, some symptoms that are described by survivors who have had these experiences, an experiencing of an inability to fully participate in life, failing to access your feelings, feeling distant or detached from others, feeling flat, both physically and emotionally, having difficulty with experiencing positive feelings such as happiness or joy, losing interest in activities you used to enjoy, preferring isolation rather than being with others, using strategies to resist confronting your own emotions, using avoidant behaviors, steering clear of certain people or situations, experiencing denial, which is a common defense mechanism people use to avoid emotional triggers and even negative feelings. Emotional numbness can lead to or be a part of depression and even suicide. There's a study I found on the National Library of Medicine. It relates the results of a study regarding teenagers who have had adverse experiences. They found that there seems to be a correlation between emotional numbing in teens and preventing suicidal thoughts and actions. But on the reverse side of that, it seems there is evidence that if that coping mechanism is heavily used as an adult, that is when it's possible for numbing or apathy to then become connected to suicide. I'd like to be clear that this does not always or even mostly lead to suicide. It just is that in most cases of suicide, it does seem to be correlated. And this is where I'd like to remind everyone of the National Suicide Helpline that you can call or text 1-800-273-8255. If you are in a state in which suicide is on the table for you, please seek out immediate help. You are worthy and you have so many options. So how do we numb ourselves? Typically, at first, it starts as a protective response to an extreme or abusive experience, especially if it's repeated. This is a survival response. The initial reaction is detachment and decreasing or stopping the intensity of your emotions. This allows you to cope and move forward so you can survive. This often happens for adults when you happen upon an accident and spring into action without really thinking or feeling, but just doing, to save a life. Or maybe you lose a close loved one and at first you just don't feel or experience it. It is a healthy, natural survival response that allows us to take needed action in emergency or life or death situations. But if a child learns to do this in response to trauma, neglect, and abuse, especially if it's repeated, they learn to respond to stress and heightened emotions by detaching and/or numbing out. This can lead to or be a part of cycles of anxiety and depression as teenagers and throughout adulthood, if untreated, healed, or addressed in some way. Anxiety exists as fear of what could happen, which is a heightened state. Then detachment and numbing swoops in to save us, and then depression hits and we dip into low lows. An outcome of detachment and numbing being a go-to maladapted coping mechanism is that any heightened emotion can get numbed, including positive and joyful emotions and experiences, and this leads to feelings of apathy. Apathy is a lack of passion, emotion, expression, and motivation. Apathy is the absence of emotional experiences. It is part of the emptiness of depression that creates the desperation and can lead to potentially self-harm and suicide if untreated or unaddressed. What does numbing look like in a person? A lot of times it looks like somebody who shuts down, somebody who just all of a sudden isn't there. They aren't present. They aren't available. If you notice in yourself or someone else when they meet or you meet any type of heightened emotion, especially if it's conflicting with yourself or someone else, you meet that by shutting down or shutting someone out, or you shut out other people somewhat automatically, this is a sign of numbing. This is often also dissociation. If you're interested in learning more about dissociation, you can listen to episode 6, in which I deep dive into dissociation. Using substances to change your emotional state. This can include food, overeating, alcohol, abuse of prescription and legal recreational drugs, use and abuse of illegal drugs, and use of any substance that alters your emotional and mental state as an uncontrolled and unplanned coping mechanism. Becoming engrossed in or lost in endless internet or social media scrolling, that can be a big sign nowadays of someone just getting lost, numbing themselves, not paying attention, not being present. Oversleeping or undersleeping, somehow changing your energy systems unconsciously to keep you from being able to really feel. because we often, if not always, do these things automatically and are driven by unconscious survival skills that feel natural and instinctive, we can easily feel like slaves to it or even not notice that we're doing it or to what extent we're doing it. So a really important question, how does it work in our bodies? This is a huge key to healing, so I like to discuss it as a part of our understanding of it. Physically, learning to cope with heightened emotions and stressful experiences by numbing or shutting down changes our brain structure, our hormonal responses, our energy systems, our nervous systems, our sleep cycles, all to support this survival effort. Your body believes that you are trying to survive an extreme circumstance even after it's over. This is part of why it can be so difficult to change it, because your brain and your body adapts to support these cycles because that's what you've needed to survive. But if as a child you're not assisted in addressing these things and healing and coping in healthy ways, it means that we will need to address it as adults. But there is good news. Our bodies, brains, and nervous systems are so capable of change, healing, and healthy, positive growth that you can change it all if you are willing to start by approaching what it will take to make those changes. The body and nervous system tend to respond best to gradual change over time through consistent repetition. For example, I had a period of apathy a couple of years ago that led me to be very sedentary, self-isolating, and I gained a lot of weight. I physically felt terrible and had no motivation or tolerance for anything other than watching TV and sleeping. One of the things I did to help myself out of this state was commit to two things every day. First, drink warm lemon water first thing in the morning. It's not much. That's a small thing. That's a teeny tiny thing. But it got me out of bed and I had something to do that I wanted to do and I believed in. Warm lemon water is really great for your digestion, and I've always struggled with my digestion. So, boom. First thing. And then, go for a walk. Even if it's just up and down the sidewalk out front. Just a tiny something. Go outside. Move your body for 2 minutes. Just do it. It was small. But after about a week, I didn't have to force myself, and I was walking about 10 minutes a day. From there, I was able to add no napping during the day as my next commitment. After a couple of weeks, that felt like routine. Then I committed to no laying in bed at all during the day. Then after that, my walks became longer. Then I stopped snacking at night. Then I started watching videos about healing and mindfulness and learning more about awareness. And then I was able to start therapy. That whole process took about 6 months. Something that can be a mistake in this process is experiencing too much too fast. If you go from feeling nothing or almost nothing to feeling everything, you might go right back or worse because it's so overwhelming at first. So why do we numb ourselves? We numb ourselves as children in abusive, traumatic, or neglectful situations because if we felt the full extent of the fear, worry, shame, anger, confusion, anguish, heartbreak, and so on, it would be potentially too overwhelming to live through. It's a survival mechanism for every aspect of our being. We numb to survive. Then we numb ourselves because we have no other coping skills yet. But it is treatable. It is something that can be healed and changed and unlearned and space giving to other healthy coping mechanisms. And that is where I will leave it for this episode. In the next episode, we'll discuss how we can overcome coping through numbing, detachment, and apathy, what to expect once you start feeling your full emotions again, and how to cope in healthy ways in place of numbing ourselves. In the meantime, please remember, you are capable of this. You are capable of healing, and you are so worthy. That's all for today. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you soon. If you'd like to write in to ask questions, request topic coverage, share an experience, or let me know how I can improve your experience with the pause, you can email me at ctfolistener@gmail.com. If you want to see the pause in your feed, like and subscribe on Instagram and Facebook by searching at ctfopausecast. Disclaimer, I am not a mental health professional or even a life coach. This podcast is not a substitute for professional mental health help. I am simply a healing survivor working to support a community I am a part of. I always encourage you to reach out, do your research, and find the professional help you need to overcome your internal obstacles and move forward. To that end, I will always post in show notes any resources I find and use, and any that listeners send in, as a way to make it easier for you to find the help that you need. With so much love and support, I hope you're feeling awesome. But if you aren't, I hope you can find a way to chill the fuck out.